goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Welcome, my friends. It is Monday. A Rush Hour is here. If you would like to be part of the program, 800-848-WABC is the number to reach us. 800-848-9222. There is a lot of Supreme Court news today. And, of course, one of the big stories over the weekend is this whole business with the bloodbath. The bloodbath. If you haven't heard the full clip by now and you have just been relying on mainstream news, I doubt whether anybody, maybe except for Adam, has, I doubt whether anybody has just listened to the mainstream news view of this, which is that Donald Trump called for a bloodbath if he's not reelected. Of course, Nancy Pelosi hurried her crinkled self onto CNN. That was mean. Let me take that back. Nancy Pelosi went on CNN. Oh, this is our reason we have to win the election. There have been journalists who should know better who actually commented on this without explaining the context. I first read it in print, the headlines. And here's one from Politico. Trump predicts a bloodbath if he loses 2024 election. That's the simple headline. That's it. Which would lead anyone to believe that he's predicting or actually advocating even, almost advocating for people to get out in the streets and be violent if he loses. Nothing could be further than the truth. This is total journalistic malpractice to the first degree. Let us listen, ladies and gentlemen, to what Donald Trump actually said and the context that it was said in.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and they think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected... Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine...
Now, it is clear he's talking about cars. And that was the context. If I get elected, if I don't get elected, then it's going to be a bloodbath. With the cars coming in, it's really clear what he's saying. And you have to really work at taking that out of context. Yet you get people like Senator Cassidy, Republican, allegedly, who was on one of those news shows on Sunday, Meet the Depressed. Listen to this exchange with Senator Cassidy and how it's framed there. This guy's a Republican. Go ahead.
I want to start by getting your reaction to Donald Trump's comments about a bloodbath.
A bloodbath.
Do you think that those comments were appropriate?
Two things about that. The general tone of the speech is why many Americans continue to wonder, should President Trump be president? It's always on the edge. Maybe doesn't cross, maybe does, depending upon your perspective. I also think, though, that the mainstream media contributes to it. If you take the one about the bloodbath, which arguably could be about an economic bloodbath,
arguably,
not about kind of street violence related to the election, then it gives his defenders something to focus on as something which was distorted.
His defenders.
Yes, he always walks
you
up to the
You should be
edge
defending
on that
rhetoric. Him.
And again, that's why people are concerned. But sometimes the mainstream media, whether they want to or not, can't resist, and they go just a little bit too far, which distracts from
they
what
just
could
go,
could
they
be.
Just go, okay, enough of her. And the media just goes a little too far, a little too far. That's just what you get from Republicans, this little squishy, mealy-mouthed, weaselly. And this is a Republican senator. Instead of him just calling out the media for this bald-faced lie, you get the, oh, well, this is his rhetoric makes people wonder whether he should, the tone makes people wonder whether he should, oh, Senator Cassidy, just shut up. Better you say nothing than to be the really, I cannot stand these weaselly Republicans. This is clearly a case where Donald Trump did not say one thing wrong at all, but yet you get this equivocation from these alleged Republicans who just want to appear. Why? I'm not one of them. I'm one of the civil ones. I can go out to the club with you and party with my Democrat friends in Washington. It's ridiculous. Joe Scarborough, that's another one. I'm not even going to deal with that. And then I didn't print the story. I saw headlines. And that's dangerous because if I listen to these headlines, I think that Trump was calling for violence. So I'll admit, I didn't read the full story on Olbermann, but there was a headline that he was, that people are burned up because he's basically endorsing the idea that Trump should get what Abraham Lincoln got. There's a good show on Apple, by the way. Apple TV has a show called, what's the name of it? It's called something, Manhunt. And it is about the manhunt for John Wilkes Booth and the conspirators in the Abraham Lincoln assassination. Interesting that, especially for people that don't know history, you learn a lot about the details there. I am very familiar with the story. Some of the other headlines are Trump ramps up dark rhetoric in Ohio. What is dark rhetoric? He ramped up a call to action. If I am elected, I'm going to stop the infiltration, what China is planning, to flood this market with automobiles made in Mexico, no American workers, like China has infiltrated the American. Look, we can't do business in China the way China can do business here. American companies still have very much of a difficult time getting permission to enter into the marketplace in China, and let alone the idea of fair trade. Trump ramps up dark rhetoric. That's the Associated Press. If I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the whole country, he warned, while talking about the impact of offshoring the country's auto industry. No, he was talking, not while talking about it. It is in context with it. These people are doing everything they can. This is not only journalistic malpractice. This is an in-kind donation. It is a form of campaigning what they're doing for their masters in the Democrat Party. Do all you can to suppress votes for Donald Trump and at the same time and cast him as some kind of villain and at the same time do all you can to cover every single weakness for Joe Biden. If you want to know, if America wants to know where the real bloodbath is, you don't have to look too far. Look in every blue city every single day of the week and especially on the weekends. You want a bloodbath? That's the bloodbath that's going on right now. You want a bloodbath? Go trail Kamala Harris as she goes to celebrate death at a Planned Parenthood center. There's the American bloodbath, what's happening to American babies in Planned Parenthood centers. But they don't cover that with any, she's there celebrating. Not a word that this woman is celebrating the death of babies in their coverage. No, we have to hear that Donald Trump trying to protect auto workers is dark rhetoric. Whatever the heck that means. You want a bloodbath? You want to see the bloodbath? Look at the people dying of fentanyl all across the United States of America in every blue city, in every rural area where these drugs are prevalent, because Joe Biden and his Democrat Party refuse to secure American borders, and China keeps shipping the stuff in here unchallenged. That's your American bloodbath. You want to see a bloodbath? Look at what's happening in American schools these days, where students are trying to beat other students to death. And nobody seems to be able to stop these kids from wilding. You want to see a bloodbath? Look at the way that illegal immigrants can come here and kill American citizens and get away with it. Laugh in the face of Americans. There's a story today that now there are groups of, they're calling them tourist burglars. They're coming in from countries in Latin America on tourist visas, robbing luxury mansions and luxury goods out in Los Angeles, and then flying home to spend the money. You want to talk bloodbath? There's plenty of bloodbath to go around. But it's not in protecting American auto workers. I'm sorry if I appear to be yelling. I am just incensed. I am beyond incensed with this. American journalists have something, and people don't truly understand how historic this was. Up until the time of America, there was no concept in most of the world of a free press. It did not exist. The founders of this country did something that was completely novel in the history of mankind. They enshrined in their constitution that the press would have freedoms, that the government could not interfere with the workings of the press in delivering news and opinion. And, as Rush used to point out, that First Amendment was specifically designed not only to protect religious freedoms, which was also something novel to the world at our founding, but it was also developed by the founders to protect political speech. Now, what it requires is that the press operate with integrity and honesty if we are going to see the fruition of that dream that the founders had of what a free press, the benefits that it could have for society and for man and woman kind. When you have a dishonest press, and that is what we have right now, we have a press that is dishonest to their core. It disgraces what once held America above every nation on the planet. We had a working free press here. Now you have a political machine taking the guise of a press when you look at the left wing and what they're doing. There is no honesty. There are no standards. These are political hacks in all aspects of their media, from the editors down to the reporters. Political hacks down to the journalists. Not a shred of decency for those who write these kind of stories, knowing that they are lying, knowing that they are taking things out of context. I don't know how these people look at themselves in the mirror. Now, in other news, Supreme Court decisions today. Not decisions, cases heard. Everyone's focused on the big social media case. By the way, can the government, I'm summing it up in bullet point, can the government, without any consequence, lean on these social media companies to get the result they want, whether it's telling them what posts to remove, whatnot, whatnot. Supreme Court seems very reluctant by the line of questioning to tell these social media giants that they, and to tell the government that they cannot interfere with these social media companies. So I'm not looking for a good result out of that one. But there is another case in New York that went to the Supreme Court today, and it has tremendous import. And I'll briefly get into that when we get back. Donald Trump cannot raise the money. We learned today that $454 million million judgment from that kangaroo court here, he can't raise the money. We'll see what happens with him and with that. Oh. 800-848-9222. Birthday today for Irene Cara. Heavenly birthday. American singer, songwriter, dancer, actress. So much talent. 1982, shot to America's attention with Fame. And with Flashdance. What a feeling. She paid Coco Hernandez in Fame. Died young, 63 years old, but birthday today for Irene Cara. On WABC 800-848-9222. Keep it right here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Jamiroquai. You do Jamiroquai.
All right.
What about Jamiroquai? You know, I first heard Jamiroquai, I was like, what is the name of this group? Why are they calling themselves that?
It's a good name.
It really is. You remember it.
Yeah,
once you get it.
Birthday today for Stuart Zender, English bassist with Jamiroquai, who had the 1993 UK number one album, Emergency on Planet Earth, and the 1998 UK number one single, Deeper Underground. They've sold more than 26 million albums worldwide and won a Grammy Award in 1998.
Nice, man. Okay. Now, the case in New York involves, and I'm still looking. I had this story right here in front of me. You would not believe what happens sometimes. I think they do this. These stories do this on purpose. I have them in front of me and they disappear. But it involves this case that's going on with the NRA, the National Rifle Association. And believe it or not, who's representing the NRA? The ACLU. What happened was a New York State, the woman's name begins with a V, Vallejo, something like that. She, here it is, found it right in time. The Supreme Court weighed the National Rifle Association's free speech case. This is another free speech case against a former New York regulator. 75-minute argument. The justices probe how to distinguish when government officials go beyond permissible advocacy to cross into unconstitutional coercion. That's what's at stake here. Now, the NRA is asking the justices to resuscitate its First Amendment lawsuit against Maria Vullo, who ran New York's Department of Financial Services. She began investigating the NRA in 2017. She's since left office. But the NRA says she violated the First Amendment by impermissibly encouraging insurers and banks that she regulated to sever ties with the NRA. So here she is. She runs New York's Department of Financial Services. She's decided she has an axe to grind against the NRA. She's going to investigate them. This was after the Parkland school shooting. And so she basically tried to coerce banks and insurers that she regulated to drop all dealings with the NRA. That is coercion. And that case is an important case. The ACLU is actually representing, believe it or not, the ACLU has decided they're going to represent the NRA. Now, Sonia Sotomayor at one point told one of the NRA lawyers, it seems that they're trying to break new ground in their First Amendment case law. But folks, let me tell you something. This case, this is weaponized government. We don't like you. We don't like your organization. We're going to use our power as state officials to drive you out of business, even though you are engaging in legal commerce. To me, this case is just as important, if not more important, than the case that's being argued with big tech today. Okay, I already mentioned to you, Donald Trump's lawyers say that he has tried to get this money, this $450 million judgment, a bond for it, a $500 million bond. They're saying it's impossible. They've dealt with 30 companies already. It's not. What happens next if he doesn't raise the money by March 25th? Letitia James, just like in some communist country, starts to seize his assets. Seize his assets. This is America. And this is what happens when you go up against a Democrat Party weaponized government machine with their... It's stunning. I had to stop myself from saying something that I might have regretted. Time to check in with Kim Komando in a bit. Let me just mention to you, it's the 77 WABC Big Basketball Bracket Challenge. UConn, Houston, Purdue, Duke, who among them or others will be this year's tournament champ. Registration is now open. Go to WABCradio.com/bracket to sign up now. It's free to enter. Make up to 5 brackets for your chance to win. You'll be playing against Sid and Friends in the Morning, Greg Kelly, Rudy Giuliani, and the rest of the 77 WABC squad. Grand prize, 500 buckaroonies. Go to WABCradio.com/bracket to sign up right now. Maroon 5, no? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the first time I heard this album. This is, I freaked out.
Yeah?
Yeah, I freaked out. I thought this album was just, I sat and listened to the whole album.
I've been there.
I fell in love with Maroon 5 instantly. All right, today's birthday, Adam Levine, guitar vocals, Maroon 5. They had 2004 number one album, Across the Pond, Songs About Jane. She Will Be Loved, and the 2014 number one album, 5. On WABC, let's check in with Kim Komando. Let's check in with news, traffic, and whatever else, and we're coming back with your phone calls and more news. Keep it right here on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour.
Rush.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Now, many of you will remember this. It was 1978. This song by Samantha Sang was on the Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever, yeah.
Yeah. It's Saturday Night Lame. That's the name of the TV show. It's a Saturday Night Fever album. Yeah. One of the best-selling albums ever in history, right? So this one was in the top three. Love Is Thicker Than Water was in the top three. And this one was number one. All on the same album. The Bee Gees... We're rolling. 1978. On this day, you were dancing to the music of the Bee Gees. You were listening to the music of the Bee Gees. All over. Night Fever, number one. Love Thicker Than Water, number two. And Emotion, Samantha Sang, number three on the charts. All produced, written by the Bee Gees. On WABC, let's head to the telephones. James in Westchester, you are up first. How are you today?
Oh, I'm angry just like you are. How are you doing?
I am good.
Yeah, look, I'm calling about this bloodbath comment. Soon as I heard it, I said, boy, he gave the media something to have a ball with, okay, because that's the way they are. If he had only added four more words to it, a bloodbath for the auto industry, that would have cut it off there. But he should have never used the word bloodbath, because they look for things like that for him. Just like they said, he wants to be a dictator. He comes out and says, well, I want to be a dictator for one day. Why does he give them food for thought?
Well, let me answer that. Look, because his audience loves it, and he speaks plain. He speaks like normal people do. He has not mastered the false, lying language of polyspeak, which is to speak out of both sides of your mouth and say nothing. He actually tells you what he thinks. And you could hear him cut himself off in one word when he was talking about it, his stream of consciousness. He doesn't get up with and just follow the teleprompter and bungle on it like Joe Biden does. He speaks plainly. And yeah, does it set off the mainstream media? Of course it does. But guess what? There's a story I have in the stack, didn't get to it. They use the word bloodbath too. They say there's going to be a bloodbath, but they don't hound themselves over it. Here's the thing. You name me one Democrat president that they hounded like this. Barack Obama said plenty of things that they could have went off on. Oh, I'm going to transform this country. 100. He's going to do a total transformation on America. Yawn, crickets. They could care less. Obama kept calling people racist by policy way. They could care less. Nothing. Yet, you look at the way every single Republican president has been handled. Look at the way they handled Nixon. Oh, he's a horrible human being. Okay, then came Gerald Ford. Oh, he's a horrible, bumbling human being. Can't even walk up a flight of stairs. Never let you forget that one. Then you look at the way that they handled George Bush 41. This was one of the most genteel people ever in the White House. But they handled him like he was a lying SOB crook. 43, they did the same thing. They hounded 43 every single moment he was in the White House. Okay, and so you have Donald Trump. Now, they hate Donald Trump because Donald Trump fights them back. He doesn't do what most Republicans do. He doesn't just sit on his hands, oh, they're saying mean things about me. Let me send my press secretary out to say, you know what those mean things you're saying, those things aren't true. Donald Trump goes right back at the people who call him horrible names and accuse him of horrible things. In fact, today he suggested that Liz Cheney ought to be prosecuted. She's having a little cow, her undies on a bunch about that. This guy just doesn't take it the way that Republicans normally take it. And he's dealing with a press that hates his guts and that is a fundamentally lying mainstream press. So, yeah, it appears that he gives them food for fodder. But I tell you, look at the way they turned on John McCain. John McCain, they loved this guy until he ran for president against Obama. And then he was the worst thing ever. If you are a Republican, it doesn't matter. They'll come after you. You look at the way they do DeSantis. Look at the way that they picked on that poor little congresswoman that did the State of the Union note after show thing, which is a waste of time. They made her out to be the new Sarah Palin. Look what they did to Sarah Palin. They made her out to be some hick rube that's just plain stupid. Look at the way they do Republicans. This is an art form for them. They don't care whether you're a genteel Republican or whether you are a feisty Republican. They will come at you both barrels. Oops, that's inflammatory language, but that's what they do. So I hear you, James. I understand your point of view, but I have a different point of view. These people, they knew that this remark, that they knew that they were taking it out of context. They did it deliberately. They do it so that they can reach the low information voters out there. The people who don't take the time to actually get to the details of the news. They see a headline and that's it. The low information voters are now running around. You know, Donald Trump, he wants a bloodbath in America if he doesn't win. That's what the low information voters are telling themselves right now. And it is intentional. Thank you for the call, my friend. Adam from Long Island. How are you this afternoon, Adam? You just must be beside yourself.
That bloodbath comment didn't really work me up because I looked at the audience and they didn't even clap or hooray to it. So you got a point there, you know. But yeah, you got a point. I seen it. But anyway, what about that fool talking to me every time he says something about E. Jean Carroll? He got to pay millions. So what was that? That's fake media too, or is that his dumb mouth keep talking and keep saying? What is this?
Okay, let me just ask you a question. What do you know about E. Jean Carroll?
I know she got a whole bunch of millions coming to her, buddy.
Besides that, and I'm asking a very serious question.
I know that he got bad taste in pitching and raping women with that bone-looking lady.
Well, ooh, yikes. Well, the jury did not find that he raped her. That is a misnomer. They did not find that at all. Now, I will tell you this. I happen to know people who have worked with her. And the stories that I've heard are astounding. I have not repeated them because I have not been able to corroborate them with I'm not, you know, a lawyer. I'm like, I can't run with this. But then I thought to myself, what does the public really know about this woman and her history? A lot of the things that Donald Trump wanted to present in evidence were denied. I have a funny feeling that if there is an appeal and if the American public actually goes through the history, and again, I have talked to people who know her, worked with her, and the things that she has said to them over the years. I'm not going to go any further, but I will say to you that there is a lot that we don't know about this woman because the press hasn't been curious about her and because Donald Trump was never allowed to present the evidence of a pattern or patterns of behavior. That's all I'll say about it. Adam, you agreed with me on something. I'm stunned. I'm floored. I'm ecstatic. The bloodbath that didn't. Yes.
I called you 75 times Saturday morning, man. I can't do it, bro. Busy, man. I can't. Come on.
Well, I think we're going to have to take your number and just call you on Saturday morning.
I gave my number the last time. I gave the guy
my
number.
Well, it's different people sometimes, Adam. I'm going to have to figure out a way to get you on Saturday because I miss hearing your voice. We had a great show on Saturday. We talked to people from the real estate business about this decision that came last week from the National Realtors Association. And let me tell you, there are two sides to a story, and we, America, has never heard the story from the real estate agent's point of view. Well, we heard it Saturday morning, and I think it blew everybody's mind. How hard these people work, what they have to shell out of their pockets in order to make sales, and how difficult a living it is to make money in real. It was an education, and it was delightful. Adam, thank you. We got to check in with Lou Dobbs right now. We're having more phone calls on the other side back. Who's this?
It's Paul Simon.
Oh, yeah, this is what you call it. Down, me and Julio. Down by the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Paul Simon's first number one album. This was his first solo single, 1972. WABC. Coming back with your calls. Stay with us.
The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
2017, on this day, one of the fathers of American rock and roll passed away. Chuck Berry died at age 90. Maybelline, 1955. Rollover, Beethoven, 56. Rock and roll music, 57. And in 1958, this one.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Let's go to Pennsylvania and hear what Gail has to say. Gail, welcome. You're on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. How are you?
Hi, James. I do think that the mainstream media are a bunch of partisan hacks, but the owners of these media outlets, they want to elect Democrats in order to get more regulations. And why do they want more regulations? Because they want to put out their small business competition. Plus, they're megalomaniacs who want to be on a sort of U.S. Central Planning Committee.
Interesting. Thank you, Gail. Appreciate it. Andrew, in New Jersey, you are up next. What's on your mind?
Hey, Adam, that lady won't charge you with rape because you don't have millions that she can suction from you and live high on the hog, and he didn't have any evidence, they said, of rape or sexual assault. They just defaulted it. But I just want to ask you, James, do you think that Trump was playing the media so they would talk about the auto issue? I think he did.
No.
That with... Okay.
I don't. I think it's just part of his speech. I think he probably was shocked when this thing turned into one. This is just normal speak for him. And he's basically, the headline should have been, Trump warns China. You're not going to get away with it. That's the headline of the story. That is a significant policy announcement. 100% tariffs on China, that goes unmentioned. But these people are just talking about some irrelevant idea that he wants a violent bloodbath. Absolute nonsense. And they know it. Thank you, Andrew. Rick in Elmont, you're up next.
Yeah, James, the Democrats have to demonize and discredit their opponents because they have zero accomplishments and they have zero facts to back up their lies. And I get demonized all the time because, as you know, I debunk the global warming scam. So I get called a tinfoil hat-wearing climate change denier, moon landing faker, flat earther, cigarette lobbyist working for big oil.
Boom, that's a lot. Let me just say this. The Democrats do have accomplishment. They have managed to destroy the American economy from where it was in 4 years. They turned America into crime USA. There's another story today, Walmart rolling back and some of the other big box retailers. These self-checkout lines, nope, can't do it no more because of thieves. They can't do it anymore. My English teacher would be very ashamed of me. Can't do it anymore because of the thievery that's going on. Target is going to limit items to 10 because of the thievery. Democrats accomplished a lot. Crime, open borders, destruction of the economy, among other things. They accomplish, it's just not good. Let's go to Ina very quickly on Long Island. Ina, you're up next on WABC.
No, Manhattan. Hi, James. Yeah, I want to comment on what Trump said. Trump didn't mean it that way. But then the next thing is, what, a little country like Mexico going to make cars after they shut down all the good cars, car company in New York City? If they make cars, they would make it and booby trap it that it kill us off. That's why we couldn't even buy nothing from them.
Honey, yes. I got news for you. Mexico's been making cars.
I grew up. My parents both worked for the auto industry in Mexico. That's how they got to Detroit. That's how I got here.
Right. Mexico's been making cars. We've been driving cars made in Mexico and parts from Canada ever since NAFTA. That's when they talk about American jobs being outsourced, that's where they were outsourced to. Mexico, Canada.
And here
now
I am.
China, and here you are, and we're glad to have you, Diego.
Oh, thank you. But, I'm glad to be here.
And China wants in on it now. We got to go. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you. I love you guys. I love you. May God bless and protect each and every one of you, your family, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me, allowing me the pleasure of being with you. God willing, back tomorrow for Bo Snurley's Rush Hour Tuesday edition. Until then, bye.